Okay, Subhuti told me that Sabarmati was going to annihilate me.
If he talked after me.
And actually, he seems to be a real gentleman.
He's very good at hiding,
though. Okay, so I'm going to talk a bit about Joanna Macy's perspective on mutual causality and co-writing. In recent times, there's been a shift in contemporary thinking and in science towards a more dynamic and process-orientated view of reality. So general systems theory is part of this shift. And Joanna Macy makes the point that it's only in two fields of thought, so in systems thinking and in early Buddhism, that a full view of mutual causality is laid out. So that's what interests her in comparing the two. She also makes the point that they're two very different kinds of human enterprise. So one is to do with the sciences and one is to do with the spiritual life. And that she doesn't want to be seen as comparing them. But she does think that each can be used to sort of interpret or illuminate the other. So that's what her interest is, I think, is using general systems theory to kind of illuminate mutual causality in Buddhism and vice versa. So I thought I should just say a little bit about systems thinking. So systems thinking sees patterns or systems instead of things. So these systems both enclose and are enclosed by other systems. So I am a system, I enclose a nervous system, and each nerve within that system is a system in itself. So I'm enclosed by a system, which is the order, and the order is enclosed by society. So in a way, this is how systems thinking sees the world, sees it in terms of systems within systems. And maybe we don't like the idea of being a system. Some people definitely don't like the idea of being a system, or within a system. So instead, Joanna Macy also uses the term pattern. So we can think of these systems as patterns. And a pattern is a number of so-called things in relation to one another. There could be a number of parts, or there could be a number of events. But what if each of these so-called things is in itself just a pattern? Then all we have is patterns within patterns. And Joanna Macy calls this radical interconnectedness, in which there is just relationship, but no things to be in relationship. So it's through this patterning or relationship that something new comes into being. A system is more than the sum of its parts. So the order is an example of this. A number of us in relationship becomes the order. Yeah? Yet if we try to find this thing called the order, we can't find it, it doesn't really exist. There's just us. And these open systems, they exist by exchanging matter, energy and information with their environment. And these flow through the system and are transformed by it. So this exchanging and transforming is the life and continuity of the system. So this is what I am and this is what the order is. It's a flow through of matter, energy and information, flowing and transforming. So the natural world then consists of pattern of relationships which form systems. They enclose and are enclosed by other systems. And they consist of a continual exchange and transformation of matter, energy and information. So if you bring to mind the image of a flame, of fire burning. So in this image of a flame, we can say that everything is of the nature of fire, co-igniting, co-arising. These are the terms that Joanna Macy uses, co-igniting and co-arising. So we too are burning, we are consuming and constituted by our impressions, fueled by sights and sounds and so on. So we are this burning flame. Yet we also notice how the flame keeps its shape. So in one way it's transient, and in another way it's very much there. In fact, when we look at a flame, all we're seeing is this process of transformation. That's all that exists, is a process of transformation. But it keeps its shape, it exists, we can see it. And in systems thinking, this is called a steady state. Joanna Macy also talks about radical impermanence, which doesn't mean that things change, it means that there is only change, no things, no trees. And Pratichit Samuppada is the pattern of change itself, or what she talks about as order within change. So there is change, and there is within this change, within this flow, there is order, which is what creates a steady state. So we too are like a flame. While our elements are consumed, our pattern persists. We protect ourselves from change as if it was a threat to us, and yet our very nature is change. Order and impermanence go hand in hand. So the Buddha never taught that the self is not, only that it cannot be apprehended. So Joanna Macy is looking for this kind of middle way between existence and non-existence. So there is a burning, there is a co-igniting, a co-arising, and it is this neutral, reciprocal nature of causality that Macy is particularly concerned with. The becoming of things arises from their standing in that mutual relation. So bring to mind the image that the Buddha uses of two sheaves of corn in a field. So when they used to cut the fields and make them into those long, tall sheaves of corn, they would start with the first two sheaves of corn would just lean against one another. Yeah? And then around that, other sheaves of corn would lean against. So the whole thing was kind of holding itself up. So he uses this image, the Buddha used this image of the two sheaves of corn resting against each other. They stand up because of each other. Yeah? They're mutually supporting. And we can take, for example, our notion of an enduring self on the one hand and our experience of craving on the other. They too support each other. They stand up together. So the illusion of self feeds craving, and craving feeds this notion of a self that endures. Now the implication of this is that if we take away one, the other collapses. So like with the two sheaves of corn, if we take away one, the other collapses. If we take away craving, what happens to our notion of self? And vice versa. So another example, we can see that supported by our sanskaras, consciousness arises. Yet the mental states that we dwell in affect these tendencies of the mind. So what Joanna Macy draws our attention to is this kind of looping back in which the so-called cause is modified by the so-called effect. So we have this kind of continual looping back. In fact, she says that mutual causality in itself is a contradiction in terms, as it still implies a somewhat linear model of conditionality in which cause and effect can be isolated. And what it really points to is this just flow of influence between phenomena. And she would say that cause and effect cannot be isolated because an open system does not passively undergo the effect of external causes, it actively transforms them. So in her book on mutual causality, what Joanna Macy does is she just uses a lot of examples of mutual causality in different areas as a way of kind of illustrating it. So I thought I'd just share a couple of those examples. So one is this idea of the co-arising of knower and known. Yeah? The co-arising of the person that knows and what is known. So when we think in a linear fashion about perception, we have two options. One, that there is a world out there, and that is the cause of our perception. Yeah? Or two, that our mind is the cause, and the world out there is a projection of our mind. So mutual causality offers a middle way in which we as perceiving subjects co-arise with the object of our perception. We co-ignite. So knower and known are causally interdetermined. They affect one another. They arise together. So there is experience, but within experience, the perceiving subject and the perceived object cannot be isolated. They arise together in each moment in experience. Knower and known do not exist independently. So there is knowing, you know, if we think about our experience, there is an experience of knowing. And then we look for the person that knows. So we do this in meditation sometimes, don't we? We look for the person that is doing the knowing. And as soon as we get a sense of who it is that knows, that becomes the known, and so on. So we can't find the person that knows, but there is knowing. So the becoming of things arises from their standing in that mutual relation. So mutual causality in perception means that while we create our world, the world creates us. So consciousness is coloured by what it feeds on. Self and world are interdependent. So while there is definitely something out there, the notion of tree belongs to us. You know, we affect what's out there. And what's out there affects us. So it's not that the trees are dependent upon us in an absolute literal sense, but we have this kind of mutual relationship. We're knitted in to this kind of web of conditions which affect one another. So we can't really say that the tree is independent of us either. We can't say either. Of those things. So another example that she uses, or area that she applies this to, is the whole area of like action and choice. And she talks about the co-arising of doer and deed. So who is it that acts? In what does our continuity reside? So mutual causality means that we cannot isolate the person that acts from the actions themselves. She says that consciousness is decisions, choices and intentions. So there is an experience of choosing, but we cannot isolate the doer from the deed. The doer and the deed are in this mutual relationship of affecting each other. And I'll just give you a little quote from Joanna Macy. She says, her concrete life is constituted by a process of deciding what she will make out of what she has received. This is her emergent selfhood. What she makes out of what she receives is who she is. This is also her emergent freedom, because she is her decision. Her subjective life is her process of deciding who she is. So we cannot isolate our identity from what we do and think, from what we have done and thought. And as we interact with the present in terms of the past, the present itself appears in new patterns to us. So we are our process of decision making. That is the basis of our continuity. And in that flow lies both our consistency and our freedom. So finally, just to say a little bit about mutual causality, or this mutual co-arising in relation to insight, something that she draws out, which I found particularly interesting. So in this kind of co-igniting of self and world, so we have this kind of, in our experience at the moment, there's a co-igniting of self and world. Self and world is arising together. And for us to see things as they really are wouldn't mean that we would see things free from our interpretation. So I think that sometimes how we think about it. That there is a world out there that we could see free from interpretation. What Joanna Macy says is that it means seeing the very structure of our experience laid bare. So it would mean seeing how we create self and world. So just to take your mind back to these two sheaves of corn that rest against one another. The becoming of things arises from their standing in that mutual relation. So if we take this idea further, we could see that our whole experience, self and world, is like a house of cards. So in the same way that two sheaves of corn stand up together and support each other, we could see how everything is mutually supported. In a way, it all stands up together. Our life kind of stands up together. Our experience of self and world stands up together. And as it is with a house of cards, when you take away one card, you collapse the whole lot. So it is with us. Now, when I read this in Joanna Macy, what it brought to mind was the stories of the early Buddhist nuns, which would be these very, very simple little stories about how insight arose, what happened when insight arose. And how did they see through all of this? And what would happen in these stories is actually they would just see through one thing. So they're very simple stories. They would just see completely through one thing. So a little story. I wandered for alms, leaning on a stick, weak, with trembling limbs. I fell to the ground in that very spot. Seeing peril in the body, then my mind was completely released. So seeing peril in the body, then my mind was completely released. So to see through one thing completely is to see through everything.